So thank you for coming. So today I would like to talk about my paper with Luis Fernando Alday and David Gallotto. So let's consider the simplest case of n equals 2 gauge theory, which has S duality invariance. So SU2 gauge theory with four flavors in the physical language, and using the notation I introduced last week, the matter field content is 2 times 2 times 2 plus 2 times 2 times 2. So this 2, the first doublet is the gauge group representation, and you have 4 SU2 flavor symmetries. So the gauge group and the flavor group combined is something like SU2 times on SU2A, SU2B, SU2C, SU2D. And as I explained last time, this combines into SO8. Now, what we would like to compute today is the partition function of this theory on S4. And the way to calculate it was explained last week by Vasily. So I just quote what we do. So the Nekrasov partition function, I'm going to calculate both Nekrasov partition function and the partition function from S4. So so the basic variables these quantities would depend on is the two deformation parameter in the omega background, epsilon1 and epsilon2, and equivariant parameter for these variables, for these flavor symmetries and gauge symmetries, or in the physical language, the VEV or the mass term corresponding to the curl term of each of the group. So I will call the parameter corresponding to this SU2 as, well, A. So you have still the vial group invariance sending A to minus A, and similarly you have MA minus MA and MB minus MB and things like that. Now, let's recall the root of the adjoint of the SU2G is basically plus minus 2A, and there is the Carlton part, which has zero weight. And also, if you write down the weights of this representation, you have, well, because of this structure, the weights are basically plus minus A, plus minus MA, plus minus MB, and also plus minus for this first contribution. And from the second contribution, the weight is given by plus minus A, plus minus MC, plus minus MD. MA and MBs are mass parameters. They are fixed parameters, yes. So they are the equivariant parameters corresponding to these variables. So when you do the equivariant integration, which I'm going to do, you can not only include the equivariant parameter for the gauge group, but also the extra symmetries acting on this role to it all. Now, we just use, for example, we can just use what Vasily explained to get the partition function of this theory on S4. So this thing is given by the integral over A, which it goes from 0 to infinity, or, well, minus infinity to infinity, depending on, well, in any case, we have a vial group invariance, so integrating over half line is fine. And we have a one loop factor and a instanton factor. So let me write down the one loop factor, which is, as Vasily explained, given by products and ratios of Born's gamma functions. I'm not going to write down exactly correct expressions because you need to put various plus minus epsilon 1, plus minus epsilon 2 in a very careful way, which I cannot do on the blackboard. So the expressions I will going to write down is rather impressionistic, but it should be basically okay. So as he explained, you need to make the product over these roots in the numerator, so something like MA plus MB plus plus A, coming from the first contribution. And so you need to multiply over two plus minus signs. And you also have plus minus MC plus minus MD plus A from the second hypermultiplet. You have then Barnes gamma function for the root of this adjoint of SU2.
Is there a gamma missing in the second?
You're perfectly right. Sorry about that. And gamma 2, 2a, gamma 2, minus 2a. So this is basically the one loop factor, which comes from the infinite dimensional contribution from each instanton number. And you need to multiply this by the Nekrasov partition function with particular choice of epsilon 1 and epsilon 2. And depending on a, m, and also depending on q. So this is the structure. So let me talk a bit about how we arrived, what motivated us to study this. So last year, Fernando Aldai and Davide Gaiotto decided to study the Wilson loops in this gauge theory. Yep. Yes. Thank you. So Fernando and Davide immediately noticed that in order to calculate the Wilson loops in this n equals 2 gauge theory, you need to use Vasily's result. So they wrote down this. And as it happens, I had done a bit of work concerning the Nekrasov partition functions. So they asked me how to calculate these things. So we wrote this expression down, but we didn't know what to do with it. We could numerically evaluate it, so that's what we first tried. So for the first 2 weeks or something, we didn't get anywhere. But one day, Davide Gaiotto noticed that these first two factors are indeed the product of the three-point functions of the Liouville theory. At that time, I didn't know anything about the Liouville theory, so I just couldn't understand what David was saying. But so I asked what he meant. So he recommended me to print out your review article, and I did. And so what David told me is that because this term is the three-point function, the product of the three-point functions of the Liouville theory, in order for this expression to make sense, the latter part, this instanton part, should be the conformal block, corresponding conformal block. So Fernando and I and Davide sat down and run mathematical code. And lo and behold, this Nekrasov function was indeed a conformal block. So at that time, I was convinced that, I was convinced that Davide's physical insight is so great. So let me write down the corresponding Liouville theory partition function, Liouville theory correlation function, which is, something like V A at zero, VMA at zero, VMB at one, maybe Q, and V, and C, at 1, and V, and D at infinity. And as Jorg explained, if you want to calculate this, you need to integrate over dA, and you need the product of two three-point functions, depending on MA, MB, and A, and MA, MC, and MD. And you need to multiply this with the absolute value square of the conformal block. So if you open the review article, any review article of the Liu Biu theory, it is written that the C three-point function is given by something like this. So C, A1, A2, A3 is given by, upsilon of 2A1, upsilon function of 2A2, upsilon of 2A3 divided by upsilon of A1 plus A2 plus A3, upsilon of, A1 plus A2 minus A3, and, upsilon of A1 minus A2 plus A3, and finally, upsilon of minus A1 plus A2 plus A3. And basically, this upsilon function of AX is 1 over gamma's 2, I mean, Von's gamma function of AX times Von's gamma function of minus X. So if you plug this into this formula and multiply these together, you immediately recognize that factor. So this is quite amazing. I mean, what the 2D CFT theorists found as this combination, basically the form of plus minus A, plus minus B, plus minus C, and the 2A, 1, 2A, 2, 2AC, naturally arises if you consider the structure of the weights and the roots of this matter content of gauge group SU2 and with four flavors. So today I won't give much more explanation about this one loop factors or the DOZZ factors. Instead, I'm going to focus on the correspondence between the conformal block and the Nekrasov partition function there. That part is, I think, easier to be put on a firmer mathematical ground, so that's what I'm going to do. Before going there, let me talk a bit about a few works which preceded our observation, but which are quite important, both physically and mathematically. So one important ingredient, important work, is the so-called geometric engineering. By Vafa and collaborators. So the idea was to realize the 4D gauge theory on n equals 2 supersymmetric 4D gauge theory as a type 2 string on a certain non-compact Calabi-L. So what they found is that the prepotential, it's a very bad practice to denote both the conformal block and the prepotential by F, unfortunately, but the F prepotential of this gauge theory was shown to be equivalent to the genus zero part of the partition function of this Calabi-L sigma model. So, so this was around 1997 or something. Soon it was extended to the case of the Nekrasov partition function. So as you know, as is explained, prepotential is given by a certain limit of logarithm, so this is basically given by epsilon 1 times epsilon 2 times logarithm of z in the limit where both epsilon 1 and epsilon 2 is small. So this z is a natural generalization of the prepotential. And what they show is that Nekrasov partition function when epsilon 1 plus epsilon 2 is 0 corresponds to all genus partition function. Of this topological string. So usually we denote epsilon 1 equal minus epsilon 2 as h bar, and then you identify this h bar with the topological string coupling constant. Now, the important ingredient in the construction of this compact KLRBL, sorry, non-compact KLRBL, is that this has the structure of the A1 fibration on the Seiberg-Witten curve. So this has four real dimensions, and this has two real dimensions, so in total, this is six dimensional. This is a C2 over Z2 fibration. Yeah. And these people found that this all genus partition function reduces to, so there is another duality or equivalence saying that this gives is basically the some version of free fermion or chiral boson partition function on sigma. So this was known. So this was around 2003. So you can start from the Nekrasov partition function, and there's equivalence to the topological string partition function. And because this KLRBL has a certain structure, which is the ALE fibration of the Seiberg-Witten curve, it can be reduced to a partition function on of the theory defined on the Riemann surface. Furthermore, as is well known, this Seiberg-Witten curve sigma is in the case of SUN gauge theory, n to 1 cover of the Giotto curve C. This is the Seiberg-Witten curve. So this Giotto curve is the Riemann surface which we have been talking about in the last 2 weeks, on which you wrap the M5 brains. So in the case of free fermions, if you have one free fermion on the nth cover of a Riemann surface, you basically have n fermions or n bosons, or equivalently n chiral bosons on the Riemann surface. So in some sense, this equivalence was known, that the Nekrasov partition function, when epsilon 1 plus epsilon 2 is 0, corresponds to some theory of n fermions or n chiral bosons on the Riemann surface C. So the natural question would be, what happens? What happens when epsilon 1 plus epsilon 2 is not equal to 0? This was done by a collaboration of lots of people, by Baffa or Dijkgraaf and lots of people. Yeah. well, the omega background preserves more supersymmetry than the general case if epsilon 1 plus epsilon 2 is 0. I don't know why they took this, but.
But this corresponds to temperature 1, right?
Yes. Yeah. So. So that's the nice thing, yes.
So it's really just the coefficient function, or is there some insertion? I mean, somehow you must introduce the dependence on A's in particular.
Right, right. You have lots of insert, yeah.
So it's
it's a complicated thing.
It's a correlator.
Yeah, it's a correlator, yeah. So the idea would be that in view of this relation, when this is non-zero, you should have a certain deformation of the system of n fermions. So that's what I'm going to talk about. Another important work is done by Carlson and Okonkwo in 2008. We didn't know about this paper until rather late after we published the paper, but what they did is to consider a similar problem. So instead of considering SU2 gauge theory, they considered U1 gauge theory. And they considered U1 quiver theory, so you have lots of U1 gauge groups and the hypermultiplets transforming under them. And so they introduced the mass parameters for each of the hypermultiplet, and they calculated, they considered the Nekrasov partition function of this system. Interestingly, so you can associate a coupling constant to each of the gauge theory, gauge groups, and interestingly, they found that this Nekrasov partition function, in this case, for general epsilon 1 and epsilon 2 is given by the torus correlator, I mean the correlator of the 2D torus over basically the standard free boson exponentials. So one natural question from this point of view is, what happens when you consider UN instead of U1? So the answer is that so if you consider just U1, you get just a free boson. If you consider UN, or if you consider U2, you get free boson and the Virasoro algebra. So that's the answer. Finally, another preceding work, which is also very important, is the one by Braverman. So around 2004 or 5, I don't quite remember when, he considered the same instanton partition function. Of gauge group G, he considered just pure gauge theory G, which means that this row is empty, but with surface operator. There, he found that naturally this Nekrasov partition function is given by the inner product of two vectors, where this vector is a certain element called Whittaker vector of affine Lie algebra. I mean, affine G algebra. So this was mathematically proven a few years ago. So from this point of view, one natural question would be, what happened without surface operator? The answer is, instead of affine Lie algebra, you get the W algebra. So in some sense, what we did is a natural generalization of this nice observation, and also a natural generalization of this nice observation, and also natural and it's related, very closely related problem to this system.
So for part two,
yes?
In this sense, it's a special case. So if you have a trace, that would correspond to the...
Yes, so in this case, I'm going to explain, but in this case, if you change every U1 with UN, you get the correlator of a TODA theory or the WN algebra with a certain field inserted on the torus. So this is one particular case, if just consider. Right. Any other question? Yes. Yes.
What I guess they didn't realize is
that in their paper, the title of their paper is even called EXT and vertex operator. So they knew that they were seeing the CFD. EXT in math language is basically the bifundamental in the physics language. So they almost knew what is going on, but So that was the introduction, and let me come to the meat of the talk. So I'm going to repeat some of what Borg nicely explained, but in order to contrast the calculation in the CFD side and the gauge theory side, I'd like to write down both calculations on the blackboard. So let's review the construction of the conformal blocks. So today I'm only going to talk about the conformal block associated to some number of points on the torus. So let's remind ourselves the commutation relation of the Virasoro algebra. You have Ln with n in the integer. And you have a certain commutation relation. Ln Lm is m minus n, Lm plus n, plus c over 12, m cubed minus m of delta m minus n. We introduce the Verma module, which is generated by the highest weight vector, which is given by this condition that ln of delta is 0 when n is positive, and L0 of delta is delta times delta, this vector. The other vectors of B delta is given by L1 to N1, L minus 2 to N2, that the dot acting on the highest weight vector. And the important thing is that L0 eigenvalue of this state is given by delta plus sum of I and I times delta. So it is kind of important to note that at degree or order k, which means that when the eigenvalue of L0 is different from that of the highest one by value k, you have the number of states there is given by the number of partitions. So this is the Verma module. And the dual state, I mean, the dual of this Verma module is in some sense the lowest weight representation. So it's generated by this bra vector, which is annihilated by ln equals 0 for negative ln. And L0 gives delta times this vector, et cetera, et cetera. And I'd like to normalize these two by requiring that their inner product is 1. Yep. You are right. Thank you. yes. Right. So this is the definition of the dual Verma module. And now we need to introduce the vertex operator or primary field, which is depends on three deltas. So delta 1, delta, delta 2. This is basically the intertwiner of this Virasoro algebra, which sends a vector in the V delta 2 to V delta 1. It might be a bit confusing to use the same letter V for both Verma module and the operator, but because of the state operator correspondence, the insertion of a module can be thought of as an operator. And in the following, I might often drop the dependence on delta 1 and delta 2, and I might just write this as V delta, because these are obvious if you are given us the vector space. Anyway, this is a operator which satisfies the following condition. So it's easier to introduce a dependence on a complex variable z, which is defined by z L0 times v, this operator, and z minus L0. And this thing has the following commutation relation with respect to Lm. So if you commute Lm with Lz, L delta of z, so this formula Yorck gave during his lecture, but let me write it down anyway. So it has a nice commutation relation, and also from the covariance, if you take this inner product with V inserted, this has dependence Z. So this is proportional, just because of the Virasoro algebra, to this power of Z. But we normalize everything. I mean, I normalize this V, saying that this is equal with coefficient 1. Right. And so with these commutation relations, we can calculate the trace of this operator V. So let's consider the following object. So F of, well, this depends on lots of variables, D1. So the situation is like this. So you have D1, delta 1, D2, delta 2, dot, 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 with Q1, Q2, dot, 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 to Qn. So I define this as trace over Q to L0, V, D1, delta, D2, Z1 times V, D2, delta 2, D3, Z2, dot, 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 to V, dn, delta n, and finally d1 of zn, where z1 is q1, z2 is q1, q2, dot, 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 to zn equals q1, q2 times dot, 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 to qn, and I call this also q. The reason of this strange choice of the variables is should be obvious for anybody who has done 2D CFD. So the idea is to consider a complex plane and construct the torus by identifying this unit circle with inner circle. So let's say this point is Q and this point is 1. So we identify this part and the other part by requiring the identification Z equals ZQ. So this becomes a torus. And you put point Z1, Z2, Z3, gradually going to Q. So this is chosen so that the ratio between Z and Zi plus 1 and Zi is given by Qi. So in some sense, you propagate by Q1 here, you propagate by Q2, propagate by Q3, et cetera, et cetera. So this is the natural trace associated with this construction. Right. So this is the CFD side. Let's consider the gauge theory side. So as Vasily explained, Nekrasov partition function of this theory, I mean, I haven't introduced the theory yet, sorry. So given that torus, I will decompose it into a certain Pann's decomposition. So you connect the last two. So let's wrap two M5 rings here. Then using the rule I gave last week, well, we associate U2 gauge groups to each of the tubes. And for each of this three punctured sphere, you associate a certain representation content rho twiddle, which is doublet of the first one times the anti-doublet of the second one plus its complex conjugate. And you associate the complex structure moduli to each of these tubes, which we call Q1, Q2, dot, dot, dot. Now we can write down the Nekrasov partition function schematically as follows. So this depends on lots of variables, epsilon1, epsilon2, a1, a2, dot, 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 to an, and also m1, m2, dot, 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 to mn. And finally, also depending on q1 and qn. So it depends on lots of variables. So let me explain. So for each u1, we associate the for each U2, we associate a certain Carlton element, A1 minus A1. And for each extra punctures, you associate equivalent parameter M1, M2, M3. So these are the parameters. And as Vasily explained, this is given by the summation over the instanton number for each of the gauge groups. So we have n, small n gauge groups, SU2. So we need to sum over all of the instanton numbers. And we introduce this counting factor. Which is horrible. And we have the integral over m2k1, m2k2, m2k3, dot, dot, dot. Here, this m, n, comma k is the moduli space of SUN instanton. with instanton number k. So these are hyperkähler spaces. So we are going to integrate something over here. And the integrand is given by these machineries. So let's call this representation rho 1, 2, because it's related to this. And so in this case, this splits into rho 1, 2 plus rho 1, 2 bar conjugate. And the integral is the Euler character of the index bundle of the Dirac operator in this representation rho 1, 2 times Euler class of this thing and rho 2, 3. So this is the integrand. And I need to explain what this is. So in this case, you have the product of M2K1 and M2K2. So this describes the instanton configuration for the first U1, U2, and this describes the instanton for the second U2. So for of points on each of these, you have naturally an associated gauge field, A1 and A2, of U2 gauge field. So you consider the Dirac data, which is gamma mu, partial mu plus A1 mu minus A2 mu, or something like that, acting on this representation. So at each point, the index of the Dirac operator is a certain vector space. I mean, so for above these points, you have a vector space. So this becomes a vector bundle on the smooth points on the motionized space. So we want to take the Euler character and integrate over the motionized space. In practice, this reduces, thanks to the index theorem, the fixed points theorem, to a certain summation. So the equation becomes more and more horrible, but please bear with me for a second. Yep. Well, here this is M and K. And now the one trick Nekrasov introduced is that because these spaces are highly singular because of the small instanton contribution. Yep. This is just a partition function which is not norm squared.
But you kind of insert two copies, right? You take U1, 2, and then you kind of like you double the label.
Which label are you talking about?
The rho 1, 2, and that's two copies, right? That's U1, 2, plus.
Well, this is inherent in the n equals 2 supersymmetry, so you should not think this as a duplication. Yeah, this will not going to give the norm squared. Yeah. This is purely holomorphic object. So what Nekrasov did is to replace these things with a version where the singularities are resolved, which are either the moduli space of the non-commutative instantons or the moduli space of the torsion-free sheaves on CP2. But in any case, there is also a nice mathematical theorem which reduces to a purely combinatorial object. So we still have the summation over instanton numbers and Q1, K1, Q2, K2, to Qn, Kn. But the nice thing is that this integral, in the equivariant sense, localizes to the fixed points. And the fixed points are labeled by pair of Young diagram. So for the first space, you have the pair of Young diagram, y1, y2 of 1, 1, such that the number of boxes combined is k1. And you have the similar summation over all of the other gauge groups. And I'm running out of space. And so up to 1n, sum is kn. And you have a horrible factors, which which I will write here. So for each of the gauge groups, you have a factor in the denominator, which depends on y11, y21, and a1, zv, y12, y22, a2, dot, dot, dot. So these factors are the contribution from each of the gauge groups. And also, you have the contribution from each of the matter fields, which I will write as zh of. So because this zh depends on the two points on distinct moduli spaces, this depends so on the first contribution, first Young diagram, which specifies the gauge contribution, and also y2s, and a1 and m1. And you need to multiply lots of these things. 4, 2, 3. But you get the idea. So there is an explicit formula for ZH and ZV, but at this stage, it just looks horribly complicated. So what we do is to introduce the following trick. So let's introduce a space HA, curly HA, which is spanned by the pair of Young diagram. We introduce an inner product so that this is delta, unless Young diagrams agree.
What is the label A?
Label A defines the inner product here. So as an abstract space without the inner product, they are the same, but the inner product are different. So this is, so we associate just this factor. So the inner product depends on A. We introduce a simple operator which counts the number of boxes. So operator N counts the number of boxes. And finally, we associate this matter contribution to a map, which I write as A1, M, A2, which sends A2 to H, A1. And you associate phi A1. So the formula is A12 of Y1A, sorry, 1, 2, Y22 of A2 is given by, well, it's fairly trivial, but let me write it down anyway. Y1, Y1, Y2, Y2, 1, 2, 1, 2, and A1, A2. I think I forgot the dependence on A2, sorry. And M divided by ZV, Y2. I mean, it's horribly complicated, but and you need to sum over, sorry. Sum over Y. So this is just a trick to introduce these variables. But because this is basically one factor here, you can nicely reformulate, rewrite this thing as just a very nice formula. So finally, after this introduction, Z Nekrasov becomes trace of Q to N phi A1, M, A2 of Z1. Sorry, I forgot to introduce Z-dependent version of phi. So let me afterwards multiply A2, M2, A3, Z2, dot, 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 to phi. An, mn, a1 of zn with the same mapping to z, and finally phi m of z is, well, basically the same zn phi m z minus n. So after this rewriting, this expression and that expression are almost the same. So for mathematicians, I just want to say that this HA is nothing other than the equivalent cohomology of the moduli space. And this inner product is the standard integral. So this is the summation of the equivalent integral of the two vectors. And this map is the natural operator which follows from X. So I'm just following what Carlson and Okonkov did in the case of U1. So you just get this. Yes. Which I cannot show because I haven't shown. Now, the important thing is that this space HA looks like is parameterized. Its basis is parameterized by two Young diagrams. Instead of one. So it looks like you have two free bosons or free fermions. Here you see basically one free boson. So what we found after all this is that there is a nice decomposition. So the final statement is that this H of A is a tensor product of the free boson Fock space times this Virasoro algebra Verma module at delta A, which I define. And also, under this decomposition, A, M, A2 decomposes as standard free boson exponential times V delta M as an operator. Sorry. So this is what we found by various mathematical experiments. So I need to say the mapping delta A is given by 1/4 and the central charge of the Virasoro algebra is given by 1 plus 6 epsilon 1 plus epsilon 2 squared. So this is the mapping. So this is a very concrete mathematical statement. So for the mathematicians here, the exercise is to prove it. So this is basically it. And I'd like to, so the problem is that as a non-mathematician, we don't have a proof. But we have a mathematical experiment, which I can show you, which shows that this decomposition really works. So the idea is to take the trace of just one, so we just calculate the one-point function with one insertion, right? So we take the trace of this object on both sides. So what I'm going to do is to, it's just gone, but sorry. So let me write here so that somebody can see. So this operator phi was decomposed into free field exponential times the Virasoro intertwiner. So I'm going to calculate the trace of this, trace of the free boson correlator, and the trace of the Virasoro intertwiner. So, and we multiply them and check the equality. So we already, I already loaded combinatorica, and this is the mapping of the central charge and the epsilons. And here we evaluate the commutation relation of the VRSO algebra by, so this is a very literal implementation. So this says that if n is on the rightmost side, and if n is negative, this should be zero. This just says the definition of the Verma module. And this says that L0 eigenvalue is D0. This is the Verma module property. And this is the commutation relation of the Lie algebra, a VRSO algebra. So in the, so you need to distinguish the case where m and minus n are different and the same. In the case when m plus n is zero, you get the central charge. And I also need to do the commutation relation for the three-point function. So these are really literal definition of the commutation relation, and I'm doing anything fancy. I'm not doing anything fancy. So this is the Katz matrix. So this was the CFT side. In the case of Nekrasov partition function, again, you just need to enumerate all of the Young diagrams and boxes and implement the algorithm written in Nekrasov's paper. So you need to, so this function enumerates all of the Young diagram pairs with total number of boxes K and whatever. So we have lots of contribution, and this is the bifundamental factor. So the torus one-point conformal block in the CFT side is something like this. So you have the inverse Katz matrix here and the three-point function here. So this is the CFT side. Instanton side is just a summation of, so this is the numerator, which I have here, and the denominator. And you need to sum over it. And this is the mapping. So delta of A is just as I wrote here. And I need to map the dimension of the VRSO side with delta M and delta A. So this is the mass. And this is the extra free field contribution. So let's see the factor Q. So this is the instanton side. Sorry, this is the conformal block side. This is the U1 free field contribution. This is the instanton. And let's multiply the free boson part and the CFT part and subtract the instanton part. It's zero. Let's consider, let's get to two instanton. You have a huge thing, and then again, another huge thing, and even more complicated, but the difference is zero. I can do three instanton. It's even more, so Mathematica refuses to show all of it. Well, I can show you the full output. Maybe I shouldn't. Oh. And U1 factor, which is not so bad, but again, instanton factor is huge, but the difference is zero. And well, I can go and on, which is totally unnecessary, but, and let's try if how long it takes to get the K equals four. Okay, it doesn't stop, and it might give you non-zero. So that's it, thank you very much. What's going on? Yeah, questions? good.
Any questions?
Oh, so this calculates everything in terms of the series expansion, right? So this is that it vanished to up to order Q to the fourth. Yes? Right. 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 So you need to introduce the framing at the infinity of CP2. So it's basically an instanton on R4. They are almost the same. It has the same dimensions. Yeah. It's just an auxiliary setup in order to make the calculation a bit easier from the physics point of view. They are basically given by the same ADHM construction, for example. Yeah. You just need to change the level to get the singularization. It is not guaranteed that this change doesn't change the physical result, but just as a way to regularize the calculation, we introduce that. Right. 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 I completely agree, and I think the results would depend on the compactification chosen. Yeah. So we took a specific compactification here. Yeah. I think that introduced this extra free boson. So if we do not do the desingularization and used just the Uhlenbeck compactification of the instanton moduli on R4, I would expect that we just get the Verma module of the Virasoro algebra without the extra thing. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a nice desingularization, but the fact that you saw this extra U1 and extra free boson means that, in some sense, this singularization introduced something you don't expect. So, yeah. Thank you.